We've been going through all the Bible stories in the New Testament this year, and year's coming to an end, as is the New Testament. And here we get sort of a different perspective from what we got last week. Last week we were reading where Peter shared at the end of his life, here's what sticks out for me that I want you to know. This happened. And for him, it was that experience he had, he and James and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration as they saw Jesus glowing. Moses and Elijah were there, and a voice came from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And so for Peter, it was this majestic moment that stuck out in his mind. Well, now the Apostle John, who had a different kind of personality certainly than Peter's, John's memory, his story that he tells, is one that has more to do with relationships than it does with just majesty. The majesty is there, but the relationship is central. And when you read through the Gospel of John, the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, you see where for John, it meant a lot to be close to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, he addresses himself as the apostle who Jesus loved, the disciple who Jesus loved. He talks about being close to Jesus, kind of leaning on him as they were eating and things like this. And so John's perspective here in 1 John 1 is an interesting one that addresses not just the majesty of Jesus, although that's certainly there, but the intimacy with Jesus that is ours. And so this is something that's really good for us to have a look at. This chapter, 1 John chapter 1, is, to me, one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible. There's so much here that if you had 1 John chapter 1, you almost wouldn't need most of the rest of the Bible, because every really important truth we see taught here. But he starts off in verse 1, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. Now, this reminds us of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where John kind of, Genesis chapter 1, the first book in the Bible, starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, he begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos. It was a word that was really important to them because it referred to all of logic and reasoning and everything that makes sense and human intelligence. And so he says, in the beginning was the Logos. Later on, he says, the Logos became flesh and lived with us. And so he makes it clear he's talking about Jesus as the Logos. But in John chapter 1, he says, the Logos was there from the beginning, same time as when everything else, before everything was made. And then it says, he made everything that was made. There's nothing that was made without him. He goes on to say, in him, in the Logos, was life. And that the life was the light of men. And so this, the beginning, the Word, the life, the light, all of these things are central to what John is here talking about in 1 John chapter 1 as well. So you'll see those same terms come forth. So he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, or literally it shined forth, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, John isn't just saying, look, you can believe in Jesus because I touched him, I listened to him, I lived with him. He's going beyond that. He's saying, all that's true, and I know him personally, but he's saying, you can have that same experience. You can know him also. You can be in fellowship with him. The idea of having fellowship with God is a radical concept. The word fellowship koinonia in the Greek means that you have things in common. You have areas where you connect. We use this kind of thought with people. You know, aren't there certain people that you feel a real connection with, that you feel close to? And when you look at them, part of what's special is that they really know you and you know them. Sometimes you hear people who know a celebrity, and they're like, yeah, I know him. And the question is, well, does he know you? One time I took some pastors to a Dodger game, and we got to go down on the field. And the Padres were playing the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, and the guy who's actually going to be the new manager of the Dodgers was at that time a pitching coach for the Padres. And he was out there pitching, and one of these pastors said he knows Dave Roberts. And these pastors embarrassed the heck out of me. They're like, hey, Dave Roberts, Dave. They're yelling at him. Finally, he comes over, and it was really obvious. Maybe you know Dave Roberts, but Dave Roberts does not know you. And it's like, oh, awkward. But think about it. When you come to church, are there certain people that when you see them, there's like, oh, it's so good to see you. And not just say that, mean it. Like, certain people just make you feel good when you see them. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that you really know them and they really know you. Well, John is saying that's the relationship that not only you can have with God, but as a result of fellowshipping with Jesus, fellowshipping with God, you actually can end up having connections with people as well, because as we fellowship with God individually, we end up having so much greater of a connection together. And that happens in human relationships too. When you know someone and you know someone else and they know each other, there's just a certain connection that happens there that's really encouraging and warm. It's good to be known and it's good to know at the same time. So he's saying, that's what I want you to understand, that you can have that kind of connection with God and with God's people. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Imagine saying, my joy is filled up. My joy is so rich. When is a moment in your life when you feel like, wow, it doesn't get any better than this? I am sensing just like this is what joy is. If I'm going to define happiness, it would be this moment. And John is saying, I want you to have that kind of joy. And it comes from being connected to God and each other. This is something that you can truly experience. I'll ask you, when was the last time your joy was full? When you really felt like, wow, I'm just so full of joy right now. If it's been a while, or if that isn't consistent, perhaps some of it has to do with the fact that there's a break in your fellowship and your intimacy and your connection with God and with people, and as a result, joy ends up suffering. Joy is kind of like the idiot light on the dashboard that tells you there's something wrong with your engine. And so when joy is there, you figure, wow, something right is going on. When joy is lacking, you go, something's up. And that something that's up sometimes is just your fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian if you don't have joy. But what it means is if you're a Christian and you don't have joy, you're missing out on some of your connection with God and therefore your connection with others. And so for John, it's this picture of, look, if you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, and you can, and then you were connected to people who know him like I am, your joy would just be overpowering. Your joy would be full. And Paul over in Philippians chapter 2 talks about the fact that, you know, your joy is full when you're experiencing unity. See, when there are these connections, it gives you joy. It feeds the joy in your life. And so John sort of lays that out. And so his story here is the story of how he got to know God, how he came to feel and touch and hear Jesus, and as a result, he entered into this connection with God and with other people, and he said, I want to share that with you because you can have that, this as well. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, he then goes on to talk about how that can happen in the rest of the chapter here. And so he summarizes, he says, this, in verse 5, is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Here's the key to joy. Here's the key to fellowship. Here's the key to connection. Understand this. God is light and there's no darkness in him. Now, what is light and darkness? Sometimes people just summarize it and saying, well, light is doing the right thing and darkness is doing the wrong thing. That's certainly not what he's talking about, what he's referring to, because there are a lot of people who do all the right things and they're completely miserable and disconnected from everyone. When we talk about light, we talk about something that allows us to see things clearly. As I get older, come into a nice restaurant, almost always nice restaurants turn the lights down. I don't understand why that is, maybe to keep you from having to look at other people, but you get the menu and it's like, how am I supposed to order? I'll just take one of those randomly. Thank God for lights on your phone now, because I just pull my phone out and light the thing up and I'm able to see what's on the menu. But when you have light, you have clarity. When you have light, you see things as they are. When it's dark, you don't see things as they are. And if it's dark enough, you don't see anything at all. So God reveals himself, and he reveals himself honestly. In fact, the essence of God, the essence of Jesus was, let me shine a light on God and who God is. He is the epitome of light. He hides nothing. He reveals himself completely. He also knows us completely as well. Now, darkness is when you can't be yourself. Darkness is when you cover up. You know, there are times when you're getting ready to go somewhere and you're like, well, it's going to be dark, so I think I look okay for dark. You know, if I was going to be on a stage, I might need more makeup. I might need, you know, certain tones and wear certain things. And I was accused of being too dressed up today because I tucked my shirt in. And like somebody said that I'm selling out. It was just like the tails were so long. I just like, maybe I should leave them hanging out in back so you get the idea. But we play these games. And you can see this in human relationships. When you first meet someone, you don't let them know completely who you are, right? I mean, I remember when the first time I took Anna out on a date, I was like, I cleaned up my act so much. I dressed, I got a haircut, I shaved my beard. I'm wearing like this vinyl leisure suit top thing. And I showed up at her door and she almost didn't recognize me. But I wanted to impress her. And that was my version of trying to do that. She was a vegetarian at the time. I don't like vegetables at all. I love animals so much, I don't eat their food. So, but, you know, she'd fix me some vegetable dish, and I'm like, yeah, this is good. Because you're trying to put your best foot forward, your best foot is typically not the foot that people really want to see. So you conceal yourself. It takes really sometimes years of a relationship where you can finally be yourself. And you feel like, I don't have to pretend anymore. I don't have to hold anything back. I'm just here. I am what I am, like Popeye said, and that's all that I am. And that is what intimacy is. When you grow comfortable enough in being yourself and in someone else being themselves, you have just a nice, neat connection. And so as you grow closer to someone, the light begins to shine that much more. They see through your fakeness, they see through your pretending, and they haven't dumped on you yet. So, man, they begin to accept you. And so here, as John is talking about the Lord. He's saying, you got to understand, everything about him is real. Everything about him is true. And if you are going to be a fake and play games, you cannot get close to him. He'll save you, but you will not be connected to him, and you'll find yourself isolated from others as well. God is light, and there's no darkness in him. And then he goes on to explain it further. He says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, if I say I'm close to God, but I can't face the truth about myself, I'm faking it, then you're lying. And of course, that's what a fake life is living a life of lies. We're not practicing the truth. But verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we come into the light of truth, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that interesting that if we walk in the light as he is in light, we connect with each other? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So he says, drawing close to God, and as a result, then drawing closer to people, involves being honest about who you are. It involves being honest about your sin. I talk about this a lot, but because it's so central to what's wrong with us. Sin, the Greek word hamartia, means, some people say it means missing the mark, but that mark is your portion in life, your eternal destiny. And to sin means to do something that's less than, that's short of your eternal destiny, or falling short of the glory of God in your life. Whenever you do something that's less than who you could be in the best world possible, you're sinning. So John says, you know what's keeping people apart? And you know what's keeping people separated from God? It's this simple. Do you realize that you sin? Do you admit? Yeah, I feel like I can't kill a bug in front of you. That would look bad. But do you understand who you are? Can you come clean before God? It's perfectly safe to do it because the moment you admit your sin is the moment he forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He paid for that sin. And yet, if you insist on hiding who you are, if you insist on pretending to be something that you aren't, it doesn't keep God from loving you, but it keeps you from being close to him. It keeps you from sensing that there's a connection with him. And then, amazingly, it ends up blocking your human relationships as well. See, human relationships that are based on a lie can last for so long. They find some basis for connection. But very quickly, those kinds of relationships ultimately deteriorate. The kinds of relationships that really last are the relationships where you find out that the more this person sees me as I am, the more I'm able to admit where I'm coming from, what I'm feeling, what I struggle with, they continue to love me. And so a relationship with Jesus is the best place to be totally accepted. There are a lot of relationships that people just feel like, you know what, I don't really want to know what you think right now. I would rather, you know, there's that Sheryl Crow song that I love the song, but it says, lie to me, I promise I'll believe. And that's the way we are with our relationships. We're like, don't tell me the truth. Just lie to me. Tell me you're okay. That's what I want to know. But a relationship that deepens is one where more of the light is shined on the relationship, and there's a bond that's even stronger. And that's the way our relationship with God is. And so John is just saying, why can't you just admit who you are? Why do you feel like everything is TMI, too much information? Just, I don't want to know. Because you think that somehow that sin, that brokenness, that area in which you've fallen short is going to affect a relationship, and you would rather have a fake relationship where you are pretending to be something that you aren't rather than to run the risk of finding the truth that you really don't have a relationship at all. That you love me because you don't know who I am, so you love who I'm pretending to be. I'll do the same for you, and let's just make that the deal. He's going, God is light. You will not fake, you will not pretend, you will not lie, you will not be deceived and get closer to God. It doesn't work that way. And there's nothing that you are, and there's nothing that you do that grosses him out. There's nothing that you can ever do that will cause God to say, I'm done with you. See, the devil loves to make us hide. He likes the dark. I think in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, maybe the greatest sin wasn't eating the fruit. It might be that the greatest sin was when they ate the fruit, they tried to cover up. They knew something was wrong, so they made with fig leaves covers for themselves. They hid from God. God's like, hey, where are you, Adam? Where are you? He's not saying anything. He's huddling down. Maybe that's why the New Testament tells us that sin entered the world through one man, not through the first woman who ate the fruit, but from the man who hid from God. Maybe that ultimately was the greatest sin, because that continues to be the sin that keeps us from God. If we just won't be honest about who we are, society teaches us to pretend, to fake it, to just, you know, say what people want to hear, because we're so hungry for fellowship. We're so hungry for a relationship that we will lie about who we are in order to get a relationship. But then when the truth comes out, you feel like, man, I was completely deceived. That was, you know, I was conned. I was scammed. The only way that relationships will last for a long time is if there's an increasing trust and a revelation of this is who I am. You can reject me if you choose, or you can accept me. But I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not to fool you into staying in a relationship with me. And that's what John has discovered about the Lord. He discovered it through 3 years of being with Jesus pretty much every day. He figured out, wow, there's no faking it with this guy. He is there, and he will love no matter what. And he said, that's how I finally got connected to God, was through someone who loved this way, someone who lived this way. Can you imagine a famous person? Can you imagine some great evangelist or somebody like that just telling 12 people, knowing that one of them was definitely a bad guy and some of the others were questionable, hey, just come and live with me. Let's just hang out all the time. Are you kidding me? You know, most well-known people don't want anyone anywhere near them. They hire security to keep people away because it's like, if you see who I am, you might reject me because your respect for me is all based on a myth. And that's the whole celebrity mentality. But here, John is like, no, man, I was with them all the time. And there was nothing fake about this guy at all. It was all very real. And the amazing thing was, I began to open up and be real with him. And we became closer. And he said, today, after all these years, probably over 30 years after Jesus had gone to heaven, John's like, I'm still close to him. But I've realized I have to choose light or dark. I either have to choose, am I going to walk in the exposure of the truth, or am I going to cover up and try to pretend I'm something that I'm not? When that happens, my relationship with God just gets awkward, just like my relationship with people. Have you ever noticed in a relationship with somebody that sometimes something happens and then now your relationship just isn't the same? Maybe you know why, maybe you don't know why, but it's just like it's awkward, it's uncomfortable. Because something happened that broke a bond that maybe you had one time. Now, I'm terrible at communicating with people in a personal way sometimes, because my head is like always off doing a lot of things. There's always a stream of stuff going on in my head, and so sometimes I'll walk past someone and won't notice them, and then I'll hear from them that I can tell something I did offended you. I know, because you were, you know, the whole time you were teaching, you wouldn't look at me. No, really, I'm not. But I'm sure there are times, there are people who I'm uncomfortable when I do see them because there's been a break in our relationship, some betrayal or something like that. And you go, oh man, when I go to the store, I hope I don't run into them. There are people in our church who are having problems and they agree to go to different services so they don't run into each other. And I get that. But what if you have that kind of break with God? To where it's like, I really don't want to hear about God right now. I don't want anything to make me uncomfortable. We are at an impasse. That's not the kind of relationship you want to have with God or really with anyone else. And so the key is you be honest. You tell the truth. Every lie causes your relationships to deteriorate. Every time you act like somebody you're not, it may feel like it's working, but in the long run, it's not. There is light in God, nothing but light. There is darkness everywhere he isn't. To live a phony life is to live in that darkness and settle for it. And the reason why you're doing it ultimately is you really don't believe that you can be accepted when you are who you really are. Well, I can tell you, first of all, God already knows who you are, and he has chosen to accept you. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's nothing you do that's going to gross him out or turn him off or make him get mad at you. No, because he paid for all of your sins, but he wants you to confess your sins. That word confess means to say the same thing. It's not to go, oh man, Thanksgiving, I ate way too much dessert, I was a pig, oh God, I don't ever want to do that again, I know it's a sin, I don't want to, I'm so sorry, I'll never, you know, I'm not going to eat for a week. And he's not looking for that. It's as simple as this. God, that was stupid for me to eat too much. I agree with you on that. And he goes, oh, what'd you eat? I don't remember anymore. Because he just wiped it away. And he says, I love you. And I like when you share with me who you are. And I'm sorry that you thought you had to pretend. The funny thing is, if you think that if you're just totally in the light, if you're completely honest, that people will reject you, you're probably right. But the people who will reject you for being you aren't the people you want in your life. The people you want in your life are the people who are being honest about who they are. See, if I'm a phony, then people who are honest are going to threaten me. And so I just wish they would put their mask back on because it's reminding me of something about who I am. But if I decide to walk in the light, because everything I've ever done wrong and everything I ever will do wrong will be instantly forgiven as soon as I just say what it is. Yep, that's wrong. That's a sin. That's less than who I should be, could be. And I'm forgiven? Then you start stumbling on other people who have discovered that, who have also learned that you don't have to play games, you don't have to live in the dark, you don't have to lie and pretend. And you connect with them. Sometimes very easily. Now, I know as a pastor, people come to me for counsel, and sometimes they just confess all kinds of stuff. And I really try to not, like, have my jaw drop or go, oh, my gosh. But, you know, sometimes people then are like, ooh, I wish I hadn't told you all that. And sometimes they'll write me emails going, let me clarify something, and they're, like, trying to take some of it back. When it's like, are you kidding? I sin. I fail. I come short. God doesn't freak out when you tell him stuff that you've done, and I shouldn't either. And once you get past that hurdle, now you find a real connection with people because, like, we don't have to pretend anymore. We don't have to play games anymore. We're walking in the light. And so John is saying, when you understand the opportunity that you have to be able to be immediately forgiven, to have every sin you ever commit washed away and be clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When you realize that, you're going to stop carrying the burden of phoniness. Pretending wears on you. You know, because if you tell one lie, you have to tell four other lies to back it up. And, you know, it's exhausting. And especially if you feel like, when I'm at work, I pretend to be this person. When I'm on the golf course, I pretend to be this person. When I'm at church, I pretend to be this person. When I'm with my family, I pretend to be this person. And nobody even knows who you are. That's exhausting. You have no energy for relationship with God or people. You make yourself miserable by trying to juggle all the parts that you're playing, all of the masks that you're wearing. And so John just nails it here. What you need to do, just admit what everybody else already knows. You are a sinner. You are coming short of what you could be. You're missing some of the glory of God. So admit it. Stop pretending. He forgives you. It's all past. You get a fresh start every moment. His mercies are new every morning. Start over. Clean and fresh and in the truth. No one in this world is worth you lying to impress them. Because it won't work anyway, and it puts too much of a burden on you to pretend. Just stop pretending. Enter into fellowship. The result, and it's really interesting because once you start being yourself, you're going to find out that the wrong people don't want to have anything to do with you. And the right people are drawn to you, and you are right with God. You sense him being close. You see him in everything that happens in your life. And the result of all that is joy, being full. It's like, man, it feels so good. I mean, if you've ever had a ticket, you know, it's miserable, and now tickets are like so expensive, it's ridiculous. But if you think you have a case and you go to court and you win and you walk away like, I'm so glad that's done. Even if you're guilty and you pay the fine, I'm glad that's over. Some of you are dreading Christmas and you're like, I'll just be glad when it's over. Some of you are happy that Black Friday is over because it's over. I'm glad Thanksgiving's over because it's over. Why live your life just wanting things to be over? That's the opposite of joy. Just come clean. When you, again, I quote it many times, but Bob Dylan said, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Stop faking it. Stop playing games. Those games only fool the wrong people. The right people are completely turned off by that kind of garbage. So you'll find other people in your life who've experienced grace like you have. You'll find people who will be real if you're real. Phony people don't want to be around somebody who's real. It makes them uncomfortable. Real people like to be around other people who are real. They go, wow, that's refreshing. John is just saying, that's what the Lord does for you. That's what he wants to do in your life. You're wearing yourself out, trying to pretend that you are something that you aren't. Just admit who you are. Come clean, and you'll find a connection with God like you've never found before. Now, maybe you come clean and you decide, you know what, I don't believe in God, and I've only acted religious and act like I'm in a church because I like somebody who does that. Well, what a stupid reason to pretend there's a God. What a dumb reason to come to church. Well, because somebody else wants me to. You really think you're doing somebody a favor? Did they ask you to pretend? No, of course they want what's best for you, what they see is best for you. But if you're in a relationship with somebody and they like see God in one way and you see him in a totally different way, have the guts, be honest enough, have the integrity to just say, yeah, this, I can't be who I am and be connected to you. So, you know, it's been nice. I mean, seriously, to be in a relationship in order to manipulate someone, that's not a relationship. That's the darkness. That's not the light. Come clean and you'll find out other people who come clean will be drawn to you because all of you will feel God being close. You cannot have great fellowship with him unless you are walking in the light, unless you're being honest. And again, it's not like always do good things. Some of the people who are always doing good things are some of the most oppressed and phony people that there are. No, it's just about admitting what you do. It has a way of setting you free, and you'll end up doing more good things without feeling like you have to when you experience His grace. Most people who are like enslaved to some kind of sin that's destroying them, those aren't the kind of people who feel like God will accept them no matter what. They sin because that's their way of running away from the truth. But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So let's be a group of people that just go, yeah, I'm not going to pretend. I don't want to be phony. I don't care. If I'm going to impress somebody, I want to impress them with the fact that, wow, that was honest, instead of impressing them with something that's just not me. When we do that together, the power, the glory that can come in a church, in a group of followers of Jesus, of believers who are just like, they quit faking it, man, I see some of the greatest phoniness in places that claim to be about Jesus. And I just think, really? I mean, is that how you think you get closer to Jesus? No, it's by the truth. The truth, Jesus said, will set you free. And when you're set free, you'll feel closer to Him, and you'll feel closer to the people who have also discovered what it is to be set free. Don't you want to spend most of your life around people who have been set free? I do. I mean, I always want to reach out to people who are bound up and everything so that I can help them to be set free. But I'm not going to pretend to be something different in order to make that happen. It's just not worth it. It's contradictory. So the picture is clear. Will you be honest? Will you be real? Will you walk in the light? Will you admit who you are? That will cause you to draw closer to God in true fellowship, which will then give you connections to the other people who are doing the same. And the end result of that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is being made full. Real joy, not pretending joy, real joy, comes as a natural result. Fellowship with Him that is a result of being honest, confessing, agreeing with Him that we mess up all the time. See why I think this is like such an important chapter? It's all in here. He died for your sins to forgive your sins. He's still alive. You can still know Him. He's real. He wants you to have a genuine relationship with Him, and He wants to give you joy. And the only thing that's blocking that is your lies, your fakeness, your masks. Let go of them. They don't work. They don't help. They will keep you from God. Now, if you're here and you've never really come to a point where your life changed, where you began to live your life for Jesus instead of for yourself, maybe you know a lot of religious language, and maybe everyone around you would be shocked if you said, you know, I actually haven't really given my life to Christ. What a dumb reason to not, because people think you have. After the service, there'll be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you. In fact, there are people all around you who would love to pray with you. If you came with somebody, have them pray with you. You can give your life to Jesus today, and immediately, whoosh, every failure of your life, every mask that you've worn, every bit of phoniness, it's gone. It's wiped out. Now you decide how you want to live from here. Do you want to walk in the light? Stop wearing yourself out by playing a game? Live honestly. And if so, your fellowship with God will be amazing. Where you may feel like He's a long ways off, you begin to be honest with Him, and you're going to find out how close He is. And then you'll stumble on people who have discovered that same thing. And we are all like, whoa, look at us. Look what we have. Look how good He is to us. I'm finally in a group of people that I don't have to fake anything. And so if that's you and you'd like that, you'd like to start life over, come down to the front afterwards or grab somebody around you and just go, hey, will you pray for me that my life could start over today, that he would forgive my sins? Almost anybody around you would love to do that with you. Don't leave here and still be kind of like, yeah, God's a great concept. Leave here for real. Stripped of all of your phoniness, all your acts, all of everything you thought you had to do in order to trick people into loving you, let it all go. Start life over. You will never regret that decision. Let's pray. Lord, we complicate things so much that sometimes we forget this is really all just about light and dark. Do we want to live in the shadows, or do we want to come out in the sun? Face the reality and embrace it and allow you to embrace our reality and allow you to love us just the way we are. Lord, help us to do that regularly on a daily basis, to start over and fresh as just who we are. And if that means people reject us, so be it. Those are the wrong people to be connected to. Bring people into our lives who accept us as the sinners saved by grace that we are. For the people here who don't know you, I pray that you'll be tugging on their heart, somehow letting them know, wow, this is what's been missing. I feel like I've faked my whole life. They want to come clean and be forgiven, Lord. Just cause them to know, I need to pray that prayer. And help them to come down to the front or to talk to somebody around them and just take a couple minutes to start life from scratch, honestly, with integrity, to receive your love, to enter into fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord. And we just give you praise for being the one who made it safe for us to stop pretending. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. If you need prayer for any reason, to the front, they'd love to pray with you. But may God give you a week when you just stop the work of pretending and you just begin to be who you are. You'll be accepted by Him, and you'll be accepted by more people than you realize when you start doing that. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.